Well, I was asked to say a few things. They will not be along the lines of I do or I will, but more along the lines of you'd better. How about that? I asked your mom if the preacher had said anything about the rings, and she said, not really. Okay. I said, well, good, because that's what I want to talk about, what they signify, what they mean, what they should say to you in years to come. All right, but first, let's introduce it this way. You know, one of the things that enriches life is tradition. It does it for us all. Each family has their traditions. Every society has its traditions. And those are the practices and those are the customs that are handed down through the centuries, right? Through the generations. But as you know, it's very possible to keep our traditions and yet lose sight of why are we doing this? I don't know, but we've just always done it. Let's just keep doing it. Well, it's doubly rewarding when we probe into the history of things and then ask the question, why? Why are we doing this? What does this mean? Why do we do this? Why do you say, God bless you, when someone sneezes? Well, look it up. Now, why do our graves face east? My dear old mother would say, look it up. It's encouraging. Look it up. Why do we stand for the singing of the Hallelujah chorus?
Because the king did.
Okay. He's looked it up. Good for you. Look it up. It's encouraging. Why do we wear a wedding band on our hand? And that thing is right there, that circle around the fourth finger of your left hand. Why is it there? Now, I'm not sure what the wedding books say on that. Maybe something like, well, it just signifies to the world that you're taken. Or maybe it signifies to you that you're taken. And that's all fine. But the scripture has some background on rings, and it has some encouraging things that it says about rings. What they signified, what they signify, and maybe as you look at that ring finger right there and that circle around it, maybe, just maybe, it'll say the same to you. This is our hope. Well, the first thing and we won't look at every instance in Scripture, we'll be here all night, but three important ones. You remember the story of Joseph. Everybody remember Joseph. Joseph was the fellow who went off. Because he was sold into slavery, he went off to Egypt. And it was sort of rocky for a while until it got really bad. And he found himself, for no good reason of his making, in prison. Well, while there, it was discovered that this young lad could interpret dreams. And one day the king had one. And he wondered, what does it mean? Because it came with such force that he wanted someone to interpret it. And one of the king's servants says, well, there's a Hebrew lad down there. And I believe that he could interpret your dream for you. Well, bring him. And so, as you remember the story, Pharaoh tells the dream to Joseph. Joseph says, you've had two dreams. They're one and the same. It means this. 7 years of plenty are coming. And then 7 years of famine to wipe out that plenty. And then Joseph said, now I suggest you find someone wise and discerning who can organize all that you keep the excess grain and store it up for the years of want, and then you'll have this. And Pharaoh said, where can we find anyone as wise and discerning as you? I want to read exactly what happens then. We find this in the scripture. Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And then, and here's the important thing for us, Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand, and he put it on Joseph's hand. And then he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. That's not bad for a prisoner. God can turn our circumstances. All you who pray, God can turn your circumstances in a moment. But what does this ring signify? Well, suddenly, I mean suddenly, Joseph is over the land. It means that there is a symbol, bear with me on this, providence on his finger. Usually when we think of providence, we think of God's providence, his maintaining, his sustaining the world, his ordaining all things that happen. And we look at the good and we take the bad because we know that God controls all things. That's providence. But it also applies to men too. When they have authority over certain things, when there is care entrusted to them, when there is foresight needed. Now, you can be grateful that that ring on your finger does not mean that you have the burden of a nation on your back. But you do have the burden of one another. It's a good burden, isn't it? You've been at this now for 10 days. It's kind of sweet already, right? With the help of God, it gets better and better. But let that signify to you that this is work, it's serious, and that you have the care of one another. God has entrusted that to you. Let that ring speak to you that way. The next thing, and I'd like to share with you, we skip a number of books and a whole lot of chapters, and we just jump forward in history a good bit to the time of Queen Esther. And you remember, your family remembers Esther, of course. And she was this little Jewish maiden that somehow she's married to the king. She finds it's an interesting story. Go look it up. It will intrigue you. She finds herself married to the king. And through some interesting set of circumstances, her uncle, Mordecai, gets promoted to be, what would you call him, the prime minister? So sort of like he's the Joseph in his day because he is entrusted to be the number two guy, and whatever he says stands, whatever he declares is done, and he is the man, basically, that everybody looks to. Again, not bad for a Jewish fellow who, right before this, was sitting in the gate mourning. God can turn things quickly. And so let me read to you then what happens for Mordecai, because it's interesting, this little thing that it says about his ring. And this is over in the book of Esther, and we find this. The king said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Behold, I have given the house of your enemy to Esther, and him they have hanged on the gallows because he had stretched out his hand against the Jews." I told you it was interesting. Go read it for yourself. Now listen. Now, you write to the Jews as you see fit. In the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring, which has been given to Mordecai. And then he says this, "For a decree which is written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's signet ring may not be revoked." It may not be revoked. And so what we want to gather from this ring that Mordecai wore is not just that symbol of authority or providence, just like Joseph wore, but as he looked at this, he would realize what I say, what I write, it stands. This ring symbolizes unchangeableness. It cannot be revoked when this makes its mark on a legal document. Now, what I want you to do is make this change in your heart as you think about what it means to you. Again, thank God you're not over the empire of Persia. But I want you to think about this ring and what it stands for, unchangeableness, irrevocableness. Is that a word? Let it be a word in your home. What we have done 10 days ago is not to be undone. It's to be irrevocable, except by death. So let it bind your hearts together in a treaty, in a pact, in a covenant that cannot be undone. Now, finally, the ring, and we jump over to the New Testament, and I ask forbearance for those that were with us Saturday night, and they heard all of this about the prodigal son, but you weren't there. So, the rest of you can pray for our dear friends here who were not there with us Saturday night. You know the prodigal son. You know the story, how he goes off to a distant country. He takes his share of the inheritance, which probably was not unsizable. And he goes off and he blows the whole thing. He squanders it. There's loose living. There's riotous behavior. There's scandal. There's shame brought to the family. And the news of this is drifting back to the family, and that makes the older brother madder and madder as the months go on. Well, the time comes when the young man, he's gone through his money. A famine hits the land. He's got no insurance against it. He's blown all of his money. He comes to a time of great need. But the best thing he comes to, the scripture says, he comes to himself. And he says, you know, even the servants back home, in my dad's place, they're doing better than I am. I think maybe if I go home, maybe he will take me on as a hired servant. You remember how it goes, don't you? He goes home, and his father sees him from a great distance coming, and he runs out to embrace him, and he welcomes the lad. And the boy tries to start his speech of repentance, and the father cuts him short and says, no, bring the robe, bring sandals, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. My son has come home. Back from the dead, he has come home. And he gives his son this great thing, this thing that you wear on your finger, a ring. And oh, this is the sweetest part of it all, what the ring can stand for, what it can mean. Because you can probably remember what happened 10 days ago. Now, 10 years from now, it'll start to fade a bit. And 20 years from now, a little bit more. And all the good things that you've been through already will just become pleasant memories. Our time here tonight, as we break bread together here in just a moment, it will be a fond memory. But these things pass, don't they? He'd eventually change the robe out. He'd need new sandals. They'd have to kill another fatted calf and yet another, because hunger never lets us alone. But the ring, it would stay there and stay there. Long after everything was gone, there's the ring. It's testifying, it's speaking, it's remembering for the lad that love is patient. Just like the dad waited for his son to come to himself. Love is forgiving. Just as the man ran out and embraced his son and welcomed him home, and love is restoring. This may be one of the greatest things of all. One of the tricks in marriage is not to hold things over your mate, not to keep score, not to say you're pigeonholed into this spot for the rest of your days because you've done this. What does love do? It restores. To full position? Yes. To full privilege? Yes. To full sonship for this man? Absolutely. And so let the ring say these things to you as you wear it. Wedding ceremonies, they're gone. They're quick, aren't they? And they're over. And then we have to remember, what did we do? What did we promise? What did we say? What does it mean? Ah, for that young lad, he had a great blessing every time he looked down to his hand, and I pray you will too. That love is patient, love forgives, love restores. Well, may these thoughts bless you. We're delighted to have you back. It's a great privilege for all of us to meet together, to share in your happiness and your joy. And we wish you only the best. We're going to pray for you in just a second, but we'll also pray and thank God for the food that we're about to partake in. And so, let's pray. Oh Lord, we do thank you that you are the one that builds the house. And you are the one that keeps watch over the city. And we know that if you do not, the house will not be built, and the city, regardless how many watchmen stay awake, it will not stand. But Lord, you have said that you are with us and that you are for us. And we thank you for these good things. We thank you for our young friends here, this new couple. We commend them to you, O Lord. We ask the blessing of God to be upon their heads. We pray that you'd use them in your service. We pray that their years would be crowned with the very presence of Christ the King, and that you'd be honored in their home, not just as a temporary guest, but as the abiding chief and Lord and best friend. We pray these things for them. Build their house, Lord, and keep watch over them when they're separated from us. We thank you now for this chance. We thank you for the chance to fellowship and share in their joy. We thank you for the good food you've given. We pray you'd bless it to us all. And we give you praise in the name of Christ. Amen.